and welcome to episode 241 of Flyaway. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Laura, George, and Donna. And we are also excited to welcome our special guest and friend, Kevin.
Yay, Kevin!
Kevin Matijevic is a clinical research professional who works to travel and sometimes travels for work. She has a great deal of wanderlust and puts it to good use finding adventures around the globe. She was diagnosed approximately 2 years ago with celiac disease and has since been searching out and eating the best gluten-free food the world has to offer. This week, we wanted to focus on the logistics of traveling with a special restrictive diet and the places Kevin has experienced who do it exceptionally well. So let's get started. Yay! So thank you so much for being here. This is really cool because we get questions like this a lot. So it's nice to have somebody who's been through it. Kind of tell us like how what to do. So what are some things you think about before you go on a trip?
So usually I think about where my location and the language. So if I'm going overseas, I definitely start thinking about the language, or even south to, let's say when we went to Cuba, I had to start thinking about like, okay, language, how am I gonna explain that I'm gluten-free to people? Because there are some countries that they have no idea. Or there's some places, even in America, that have no idea.
That's
true.
And then there's places that are really good about it. So I start out by kind of deciding that. And then if it's a language thing, they have these cards online that you can go and they kind of explain in the language. And you can just carry them with you and give them to your servers or take them into places. And people will understand. They'll see that, like in Cuba, I had a Spanish one. So if I needed to use it, I could. But then the other thing I do before I go is I kind of start looking at where there is to eat and then what kind of foods there are, and then look through their menus and things and start seeing where I might find gluten and where to avoid it. So I kind of do a little bit of both.
Like, where would you find those little cards that you were talking about?
Online. Actually, Pinterest is where I think I first found them. I think I was looking for gluten-free on Pinterest or gluten-free travel on Pinterest, and I found a ton of stuff on there. And there's a ton of blogs on traveling gluten-free that I've seen pop up. And I'll find one of those and just start reading through if they've been to the place I'm going to. But not every time do I find somewhere.
I actually saw somebody use one of those cards. We were just in Mexico recently, and I saw somebody use one of those cards. Or, I mean, maybe it wasn't one of those cards, but they had like a little card with it written out. And she didn't even try to say gluten-free. She just handed it to the waiter, and he was like, oh, gluten-free. And, you know, so it was clear. But she didn't even bother starting with it. She just handed it to him and let her know whether or not he understood what that was. You know, it was interesting. Yeah. I never seen anybody use one.
That's the easiest way to do it sometimes, for especially if you don't speak the language and you don't want to try to, you know, murder that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because what happens
in Spanish?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just for people who aren't familiar, if you have a like a gluten sensitivity or allergy or celiac, what are some of the things? I mean, we know it's like wheat, right? That's
where yes.
It. So what are some of the things that you wouldn't think might upset your stomach or cause you a problem that we wouldn't realize?
I think a lot of people don't realize that it's in soy sauce, that it's in like all the little things. It's in flavored vodkas. So you have to be careful about flavored vodka. So, you know, I can't do the whipped cream vodka flavor or whatever. So there's like certain drinks, you know, but plain old Tito's works every time. It's my go-to. But, you know, you just have to kind of figure that out. There's some places, you know, that are really good with beers, but there's a lot of, I'm trying to think of what else it would be in. It's weird. It's in stuff like candy. You have to watch out with candy. You have to watch, you know, of course, you know, breads and things. That's obvious.
So bread, pasta, tortillas.
Yeah, unless it's a corn tortilla, you're okay. But flour tortillas, obviously no. But, and it'll be in sneaky places like soups. People use wheat in soups. Surprisingly, if you're traveling in the South, be cautious with sweet tea, because a lot of times people will prime their sweet tea bins with flour. Places like IHOP put pancake batter in their omelets. So you have to kind of look at everything.
Wow. Yeah,
you just don't know. They sneak it. It sneaks in on you in like the weirdest places.
I have a cousin who has a gluten sensitivity, and we were at the Outer Banks last year, and we did the steam pot with all this like all this different kind of seafood, and I wasn't even thinking, and I put a beer in it, and I felt so bad because she had chipped in, you know, it was not cheap. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, but luckily it was a Michelob Ultra. And so it's like a super, super light beer, and it didn't end up upsetting her. So I guess it all steamed out anyway.
Did she know before she tried it? That it
yeah, she knew when I made it. And when I told her what kind of beer it was, she was like, well, that's fine.
So some people aren't as sensitive as others. If you're, right. Most people with celiacs are highly sensitive. I'm pretty sensitive.
Yeah, I was on a trip recently that the lady actually brought cans of Dinty Moore with her. Every meal she sat there and she sat there with a can opener and eat cold Dinty Moore because she had celiacs and didn't know and what the meals contained.
Wow. Where were you, Donna?
In Bali.
Okay, so that might be a little harder. I mean, I know I've been to places like, well, I was on a Disney cruise and we were at Paolo, which is the Italian restaurant. And there was someone there who couldn't have gluten and they accommodated her mm-hmm. with bread and pasta. So
I've had no problem on cruise ships. They are really accommodating.
Yeah.
All you have to do is ask and know. I mean, the Italian restaurants were all very accommodating. The French restaurants are always really accommodating. I mean, most of their food doesn't have gluten stuff in it anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting because you wouldn't think that Italy would be a country where they would be very gluten-free, but they actually are very good at it too. I hear from many, many sources that you can eat very easily gluten-free in Italy. They're just very aware of it. So making fresh pastas and everything, they're just not as reliant on pure flour and wheat as we think, as we assume they are because we eat American pasta, you know?
Yeah, since we're heading there, here in a couple months or month and a half now, since we're going to be heading that way, I've already done my research on it and was like, oh, what? And they have like in Naples, there's gluten-free pizza shops and they're very aware of it. And their rules are very different than here. Here it's like, good luck. There, it's very strict, like very strict. When we were in England in September, I went up to a bar and I was like, can you tell me what your gluten-free options are? She hands me this book. I mean, it was huge, like had three ring binder with every recipe, with everything in it, everything. And she's like, you decide what you can eat. She's like, we in the EU, we can't tell you what to eat. We can't, it's too dangerous. It's like they could get sued or whatever their laws are.
Too much liability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going to tell you what you can eat. We're going to give you this and you can decide what you can eat. I love that because I'm like, oh, I know exactly what I can eat when I see this book.
Yeah.
So to me, give me the book. I'm happy with that.
That's really smart. And I think it is hard for restaurants because they want to keep their recipe secret in a lot of cases. They don't want you to be able to go home and make it. But the fact is, as a culture in the first world, we don't want to make it. We don't want to take the time to do it. So yeah, we'll come back and eat it when you cook it. So I think that's getting more and more relaxed. But I've definitely been in situations. I was recently on a trip to Germany with a group of travel agents and one of them had celiac. And everywhere we went, they came out, they talked to her, the chef came out and talked to her, but this one restaurant, it's actually a pretty famous restaurant in Munich, they brought her Spätzle as a side. And she was like, is this gluten-free? Because of course people make everything gluten-free somehow, but she's like, this doesn't look, you know, this looks like Spätzle. This is like full on. And the waiter was like, oh yeah. And she started eating her food. She wasn't eating the Spätzle yet, but she was like, you know, kind of looking forward to it. And he came back about 2.5 minutes later and just took her plate. So clearly there was a misunderstanding. Yeah. And she was like, and we're like, did you eat it? And she said, no, I didn't. She said, I was really nervous about it. So yeah. So I can understand why people might bring a can of Dinty Moore just in case. I mean, it must be.
Yeah. You know, our friend Chip has celiac or gluten intolerance, and on the ship that we were on in September, you know, that I was with him the first morning for breakfast, and he just, you know, he asked to see the chef, and the chef took a long time with him. Mm-hmm. You know, I was really surprised. It wasn't kind of like, he didn't like give him the brush off, like, yeah, we got it. We've done this before. He took a long time with him. And then every morning he would just tell one server, and that server would come out and bring his pancakes and whatever else he was bringing out for him. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, George and I had dinner with him at Wonderland, the one that has this, like, the, what do you call it? The deconstructed yep. stuff or whatever. So,
molecular gastronomy.
Yeah. So it was interesting because there were some things that we didn't try because of it, but he was able to try a lot of it.
Well, places like that are probably some of the safest places to go because they are making everything, they're crafting everything right there. So they really can sort of craft it.
And I found that the Charisma resorts also were very, very conscious about allergies and sensitivities and all as well, because they make everything gourmet. So it was very easy to say, you know what, don't add that.
Yeah.
And I think most of the higher end all-inclusives are very conscious of it now. So Kevin, have you done an all-inclusive yet?
I have not, but I really want to.
Yeah, we need to get
I'll
on
hook you up.
I want to do Jamaica.
Actually, I was just reading. In fact, I think it's one of these magazines on the corner that Jamaica is having a food renaissance. So it might be a good time to go.
I think they have a food and wine festival. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about cruising. We were just talking about our friendship, but you cruise quite a bit. Yes. So can you tell us a little bit about what it's like, you know, what sort of the experience is when you're gluten-free?
So the one thing I've noticed is that I guess I'm more careful about the buffet is probably my biggest fear is like, what am I getting at the buffet? And it's harder to find someone out when you're cruising to talk to you at the buffet. Like, that's probably the one that I'm like, okay, what's safe here? I usually will go for a salad or whatever. And so they don't label anything on the buffets. And so you have to ask and you have to find somebody back there to talk to. It's not as easy as in the restaurants where, you know, your waiter comes to you and, you know. So that's probably the biggest thing on the cruises that I have a problem with. But, you know, if you call for room service and you talk to them, they'll tell you too. They're pretty good about it. So that's
do you do a lot of specialty dining, or do you find that the regular dining room has enough choices too?
The regular dining room is fine. At least on the Norwegian cruises we've been on, I, in fact, like the regular dining room, and we'll go to it quite often just because they always have bread, which I love. I'm like, oh, they have gluten-free bread. I never get bread. I get excited because I never get to eat bread. So I'm like, they actually have bread here. I always get the toast. I'm like, they have toast in the morning.
It's the little things.
It really is. When you actually
is it good, Kevin? Is it a good substitution?
It is. It's not dry. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't go back every morning. But yeah, it's not a dry bread. That's my biggest complaint about gluten-free bread you buy in the store. They're just so dry. And so I have favorite brands or some brands I won't even buy because they're so horrible. But yeah, so far on the cruises, I've found that the pasta's good. The breads are good. I haven't found anything to be terrible.
What about sweets? What about desserts?
Usually there'll be a flourless cake. They almost always have some kind of flourless cake or a mousse that you can have. Yeah. And so that's where I really, you know, there's enough options that you can usually find some. Or ice cream. They'll just have, like, you know, a scoop of ice cream with some fruit on it. And they'll do some creative things that are different for you, too. They're like, oh, we can't do that, but we can do this. And it's, you know, you get something different than what everybody else gets.
Mm-hmm. And you find it all tastes good? I mean, you're totally happy with
it? Yeah. I've never been, you know, not satisfied with it.
And hey, you know, if they make something special just for you, then it was made fresh.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Nice. That's cool. So is there, do you have a favorite place that you like go back to a lot or want to go back to?
For food wise or for?
Yeah. Well, just for that's done it really well.
Well, when we were, well, on a cruise or not on a cruise?
Whichever.
Well, you should say you've sailed Norwegian several times, so you must feel that they do a good job with.
I feel like they do a very good job, yeah. And I think all their specialty restaurants and dining do a great job. And you know, obviously, we're going back in June, so it can't be that bad. Surprisingly, the Italian restaurants in England were probably some of the best gluten-free pasta and gluten-free options I've ever had. They were really great, and they were super accommodating there.
Nice.
So that was probably a big surprise.
They gave you the books, right? The ones that...
Yeah, they gave us... Well, he said he didn't even have to give me the book. He had books, but he was like... You know, he was from Italy, and he was just like... Like, I'll tell you what's gluten-free. And then and they had it in their menu. Their menu was really friendly, too. So I was just shocked that we went to an Italian restaurant and they had so many options. Because normally I have maybe one or two options, but they had a ton of options there.
Yeah.
Definitely back to that place.
I can't wait to hear how you feel about Italy. Because I always hear people come back and just rave about how easy it is to eat there and how they weren't expecting to be able to eat so well because of the gluten prominence in the dishes, but it isn't true. Yeah. The true Italian cooking. So
even when we were in Venice, and the food in Venice, you could go, you know, I could just get a chicken or a piece of fish. You didn't have to get pasta with every meal. So mm-hmm. I mean, you could choose to get the pasta or not. But yeah, they have all these options. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about food, but what we haven't talked about is booze. Well, we talked about it a little bit because yeah. So obviously you have to avoid the sugared and flavored vodkas. Is there anything else, or is that pretty much open market for you?
So for liquors, so I can't have like Kahlua. So you have to be careful. So no mudslides on the cruise ship, which is a bummer. but you can't do that. But most liquors are fairly safe. I can do just about every other kind of liquor except those flavored vodkas. I don't know why. Some of them say on the bottles, it's the flavoring. It's something in the flavoring itself, that the artificialness, I think. There's mm-hmm. some gluten in that. Mm-hmm.
So you were talking about all the vodkas, but is it also the rums and the tequilas that are flavored as well, or just the vodkas?
It depends on the brand sometimes. Like, you really have to look. Some, like orange flavors, I think I've looked up, there's like an orange flavored rum or tequila, and it's not. But it depends on brand, and it depends on how they flavor it, and how many natural flavorings they use, and then how many, you know, junk flavorings they're using.
So really what I'm taking away from this is you just need to do a lot of tequila shots is really
Well, I mostly do Tito's shot. I'm like a Tito. Like Tito's and soda with a couple limes, I'm good. But you can find gluten-free beers. I had a gluten-free beer in England at one of the pubs. Actually, several times we went to a pub and I had gluten-free beer. And they had more options than I usually find in America. For like here, you go to a bar and you get a cider. You can have a cider.
That's what I always see you drinking. Cider.
And they're so, the ciders are so sugary, so I really can only drink about one or two. And then the wine, you know, same. I drank a bottle with you the other night.
Kevin, are you super, super sensitive, or is it something that, because I've had some people where they're talking about, even if you've got regular beers that go through the lines, that the gluten-free beers are going through, then they basically have to start over? Or is it something that, you know, you can go through the tap and just grab a gluten-free beer and be okay?
So I usually get bottled beers, and however they bottled them and made them, most places are made in a facility that's gluten-free, or they run them on only gluten-free. Some beers are, the gluten is removed after the fact. So there are a few beers, there's just a couple out there that I can't remember which ones. I think like Omissions, and then the Stone Delicious IPA. Those are removed after the fact, and they sometimes bother me. So I try to stay away from those. And I stick with the ones that are made from a gluten-free facility.
That's interesting that you said that, because I actually accidentally had an Omission one time. I didn't really, you know, I just was like, I'll try something different, and did the whole finger on the menu thing. And I was like, I've never had one of those. And I didn't realize it was gluten-free, but it was delicious. But I guess if it's removed after, then that doesn't really count. So
Yeah, well, actually, if you ever really want to just give it a try, the Glutenberg beers are my favorite. And I get those at the Triangle Wine Store or whatever. And they have ones that taste, they have one that tastes just like Blue Moon. It's amazing.
Oh.
Yeah. So I have found beers that definitely are really good.
It's funny you don't think about that until you can't have it. Because I know our friend Brandy is allergic to the hops. And when she drinks a hoppy beer, she sneezes like over and over and over again. Mm. I think it's hilarious.
Well, I mean, for me, it's hard because I can't have nuts and seeds. I can have peanut butter because I'm not allergic to them, but it just, it messes me up so badly that it's just not worth it. So it's one of those things you have to be careful about what you put in your body.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't have rum. So I can relate, Kevin, to the whole, you know, if you can't have fruity beverages or, you know,
fancy
beverages on a cruise, everybody's walking around and everything on a cruise has rum in it. Everything.
For good reason.
Everything has rum. Yeah. And I'm like, I respect the rum, but I can't drink it. It will be bad. So yeah.
Bad because it messes with yours. Tummy or bad because you get loopy quick?
No, it's my tummy. No, I have pretty decent tolerance. It's my tummy.
Well, you just need to go to Mexico then.
Yes. Tito's, I am also a fan of the Tito's. So,
is Tito's vodka?
Vodka. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a corn vodka. It's made out of corn. So, it's of all of them, it's a go-to because you know it's the safest vodka made out of corn and not wheat.
That's, yeah, I guess I never really thought about what it was all made out of.
Mm-hmm. So some are made out of potato, some are made out of wheat, some are made out of corn. Some people are so sensitive, they're bothered by the wheat ones, but distilling vodka, usually distilling any alcohol pretty much removes anything that it was made with. So you don't really get those ingredients. But there are some people that are super hypersensitive. I'm not one of those people, but I know there have been times where, as celiacs call it, I've been glutened. I'm like, I'm not glutened. I don't want to be glutened. But I know, I'm like, oh, now I'm going to be upset tonight. Like,
yeah.
Not going to be a good night.
That is rough. I mean, I know I have a friend whose daughter is, I don't think she has celiac or anything, but she has severe allergies to so many things like peanuts and, when she was a baby, it was almost like, I'm like, what does she eat? There's, mm-hmm. you know, it was like rice and soy, and it was crazy, the kind of all the stuff this girl was allergic to. But she's made it to like 13. So.
Yeah. I mean, it can be done. It can be done. Well, and our friendship that we were talking about, you know, I asked about desserts partially because we kind of felt bad for him because every night
he has a sorbet.
He also has a dairy allergy. So 9 times out of 10. It's like, we have the fruit cup. It's like, oh, goody, the fruit cup again.
So. I know when I used to work for the software company and I would get like order the meals and stuff, you know, picking out the gluten-free options, it was like, all right, you got salad. You
know? that's my biggest complaint. Like when that happens at work, someone's like, oh, we ordered you salad. I'm like, yeah, do you know how many salads I eat? Like, I'm so tired. Couldn't you get a rice dish?
Yeah. One time I ordered pizza from Mellow Mushroom and I got one that was gluten-free crust and lactose-free cheese. Nobody touched that pizza.
It just sat there.
It just sat there, yeah.
So Kevin, their crust is actually really good. I like their crust.
I don't want to put you on the spot. You've talked about some of the great meals that you had, but do you have a moment where you were really just so pleasantly surprised where, you know, you were on a cruise ship or on vacation and you had a meal that you just never thought you could have a meal that good? I mean, has there been a case where you've just been wowed?
So we were in Vegas in, when did I go, Sandy? I was in Vegas in March, spring break.
It was like last month. And,
yeah, I know. I'm like,
it was a good trip to Vegas.
It was a good trip to Vegas. Yeah, we took the girls for spring break, and the hotel we stayed in had an Italy, mm-hmm. and they had a dish with gluten free pasta, and it's probably the absolute best gluten free pasta dish I have ever had. I was amazed. I was like, I want to go back. I actually looked up how to make it and looked up their menu and figured out how to make it at home. and realized I could order their pasta because you can order a lot of Italy stuff and their sauce. I could order their sauce and their pasta and everything online. So I was like, I could make that at home.
Awesome. So what was the dish? Was it like an Alfredo or was it a marinara? What was the?
It was like this tomato pesto. It was like some kind of tomatoy pesto, but it had like a good ratio of cheese, and the pastas were almost like, I'm trying to think of what shape that they were. I can't even think of the shape, but they were so good. It was just, the whole meal was just delicious. That was the best gluten-free meal I think I've had in the last few years. That I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and eat it at Italy again.
Yeah. So is that a chain?
There's a few of them. I know the first one was in New York City, right? I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, there's one in New York. I think there's one in California, like LA area. There's the one in Vegas.
Okay.
I think there might be one in Florida.
I feel like I just read about one, maybe coming to a cruise ship, or maybe
they're either. It was either on MSC or Celebrity, because I toured both of those and I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, I feel like it's coming to a cruise ship very soon. So that's,
no, it was already on there.
Hmm.
I'm thinking it was Celebrity, but don't quote me on that one.
We can look it up.
This is the podcast where we pretend to know stuff, but we don't really.
It's the MSC. I just looked it up. It's the MSC.
Okay.
See, I knew I saw it.
Cool.
It's on the Divina.
Okay. That's out of Miami.
Yeah, that was the one I toured. And it was very interesting because the restaurant was it looked very, very high scale, but then it had plastic chairs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true. And
see-through plastic chairs.
Well, what's weird about Italy is they set it up. It's almost like a cafeteria style. It's the way it's set up is, you know, they have a meat station, a pasta station, and a salad station, and they have like the ice cream station. And so there's just all different little stations you can go to, but they have a few sit down restaurants within Italy also.
Yeah. And so in there, they also had the wine station.
Yes. So
you could make your own custom bottle of wine.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's a neat setup. The first time we walked in, it was really crowded. It was lunch and we were kind of overwhelmed by it all. But we came back later in the day and then we figured it out. And we're like, oh, this is how it works. You can go over here and get your meat and cheeses and go over here and pick up a salad. And so
was that neat. In the resort you were staying in?
Yeah, it was at the Park MGM.
Okay.
It used to be the Monte Carlo, maybe? It was the hotel in the middle of Vegas. It's like right in the middle of the strip.
I haven't been in like
New York, New York. It's right next to New York, New York. I think it used to be the Monte Carlo, and now it's Park MGM. It's supposed to be geared for millennials, and we had a bunch of millennials with us, so we went there.
Did they like it?
They liked it, but I don't know that they actually. I think they were most impressed with. I think they liked the Bellagio the most when we walked through it. Yeah. I think that. Oh no, Mandalay Bay. They really like Mandalay Bay when we went there too.
I can't remember anything that stands out about Mandalay Bay to me. I remember the Bellagio fountains.
The Bellagio will stand out to
pretty much. Mandalay Bay has the big aquarium.
Yes.
So maybe I didn't walk in there. I would think I'd remember that.
They have the beach pool, and we went to one of the ultra lounges up at the top of Mandalay Bay.
Can't believe your kid's old enough to be drinking now.
I know. Oh, I can't believe that I had to pay a bouncer to not kick her out of that bar.
Remember what happened on in Vegas. The
wall. Twerking on the wall, okay?
All right, well, that is our show for this week. Let me show
you. I was just what I was getting into.
Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. Thank you, Kevin, for joining us.
Thank you. Awesome.
And on behalf of Elizabeth, Laura, Donna, George, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.